بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We give Allah all the thanks and praises. He is our Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolver of all the systems of knowledge. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu mulk wa lahu hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. We witness that there's no deity, no God worthy of worship except Allah alone. He is without partners or associates and is nothing like unto him. To him be the dominion or the rule. To him be all unqualified praise. And he has power over all things. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa amma ba'd. Further witnessing that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, that he is Allah's slave servant and his messenger, we pray the prayer and the peace be on him and what follows of that salutation. Seeking refuge from Allah, from Satan, the rejected enemy, and with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Allah, the pure, the perfect, the most high, says in the Quran, because Allah will never change the grace, another translation says, because Allah will never change the condition which he has bestowed on a people until they change what is in their own souls. And verily Allah is he who heareth and knoweth all things. We say Sadaq Allahu Azeem, and Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Dear believers, our topic for today is Allah will not change your state of being until you change your heart. Brothers and sisters, I think we know from a biological, from a physical standpoint, the significance and the importance of the heart. We already know, as students of Scripture, as believers in Scriptures, as students of Scripture, we already know that Allah has created signs in us. And brothers and sisters, I really want to ask you all to do some reflecting. I want you to do some pondering today on the areas that I'm going to go into. First, let me also say on the onset, today's khutbah is from the tafsir of Imam Fahim Shuaib of Oakland, California. Having said that, again, I want us to go back and focus on the importance and the significance of the heart. The Quran mentions the heart. Science tells us that the first organ to develop in our body is the heart. Isn't that interesting? That's the first organ. Praise be to Allah. So when we look at this, we have to understand that in us are instructive signs. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm really going to get into some things, and I'm going to let you know again, I can't lay this all out for you. I think a hint to the wise in some cases is sufficient. We'll see how much we can cover during the time that we have. But I think that you will appreciate and will benefit from this and do your own research. The first thing that I want to say, by just giving a little brief comment, this verse, Allah will not change the state, the condition of a heart, or condition of a people until they change it themselves, it has two connotations, it has two meanings. The first one is that you and I have to take personal responsibility. The first one is that a lot of times you and I want to rely or blame or count on outside circumstances for our reality or our present state in life, when in reality, you and I have a lot to say and a lot to do with our current state in life, whatever that is. Even if we're happy, if we're sad, whatever that current state is, you and I have something to do with that. What is the second point? The second point is Allah has to constantly reveal things about himself, because the human family has misinterpreted many things that Allah has done, and the human family has missed the mark as it relates to Allah. Meaning what? Some of us think that Allah gets his kicks, he gets his rocks off, so to speak, by punishing us. That he's just waiting for us to mess up so he can punish us. You and I should understand as Muslims, unfortunately, there's some Muslims that are scary and spooky like that. You and I should understand as Muslims that Allah said that his mercy outrules, or his mercy prevails over his wrath. So we look to the mercy. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't have it twisted. Yes, Allah can punish. Yes, Allah can give us hurt. But that's not what he lives for, so to speak. Excuse me for using this language as it relates to Allah. But I think you get the point that I'm saying. Allah, we have to understand him correctly and properly. Many people will praise Allah when things are going great. And soon as a problem or negativity or a setback happens in their life, they want to blame Allah. Let's get back to the verse. Allah will not change the state or the condition of your heart, the condition of your soul, until you change what's troubling you, till you change what's bothering yourself. You're bothering you yourself. I already gave you the first commentary. We have a personal responsibility. What's the second commentary? The second commentary is, if you are under Allah's grace, you will remain under Allah's grace until you do something to change that. The first thing is the grace. We're all under Allah's grace. From the moment we get here, we're under Allah's grace, his mercy, his kindness. He blesses us, he gives us. We're talking about the heart. He's given us a heart, a brain, spleen, liver, lungs. All of these things play a role. They have a function. The point is, in the condition of a society, look at history, look at human history, look at ancient civilization. They rise and they fall. America has had its rising and falling. I know some of us are so arrogant, we're so blind, that we don't realize when Allah might be displeased with us, where Allah might be trying to get our attention. So we think that just because we're America, we're always under the favor of Allah. Yes, if we remain in the condition that he set us on in the beginning, or if we remain true to what earns us that grace. But if we change that, dear brothers and sisters, Allah can change his grace towards us. I want to spend a little time now talking about the difference between emotions and feelings. The average one of us thinks that emotions and feelings are the same thing, but they're not. There is a difference between emotions and feelings. Well, what is the difference? And why is this important, brothers and sisters? Because again, the heart is a sign of that. The heart is like the center that though it has physical characteristics, it also has an abstract and a metaphor to it. Inshallah, I'm going to get to that. But right now, let's talk about the difference between emotions and feelings. Emotions are natural. You don't have to be trained to get emotions. You don't have to go to Emotion University. When Allah gives life to the human family, all of us have emotions, and guess what? For the most part, I hesitate a minute. I'll say it this way. A lot of times we don't have control over our emotions. Now I'm going to quickly add, for those of you that are struggling with that statement is true. What we do have control over is how we react to our emotions. We'll get to that too. But as far as the emotions themselves, some of us have been in a situation, I guess especially us men, we're in a situation and we start tearing up and we wonder, where did that come from? I didn't even see that coming. But something outwardly affected you inwardly in such a way that that emotion came out. Or all of a sudden, maybe you were talking calm and then you start raising your voice. Anger comes over you. You think all of a sudden. These are natural emotions. How would I define it? Emotions are spontaneous. Emotions are automatic. Emotions, many times, are unconscious reflexes. Allah made us with emotion, and they serve a purpose. You've heard of fight or flight? Fear. That type of fear, that is an emotion for the preservation of life. Either you're going to get adrenaline to the parts of your body that helps you knock somebody out, or you're going to get adrenaline to your legs so you can run away from the situation. Or in the case of that famous mother that lifted a car off of its baby, under normal circumstances, Atlas probably couldn't lift that car. But mama, under the duress and under the stress of trauma to their baby, no care, no concern about themselves, instinctively lifts that car up off of the baby. Allahu Akbar. I hope you're tracking me. There's a difference. Well, what are these feelings? Feelings are processed emotions. I repeat, emotions are natural. They come. Common circumstances, situations create emotions. But what we do with those emotions happens after the fact, after we think about it, after we reflect on it, after we connect it to our past. What am I saying? The same set of circumstances affects one person emotionally one way and another person another way. We say, that makes me sad. The other person may say, why does that make you sad? That makes me happy. That's two different set of circumstances, two different ways of processing the feelings, I'm sorry, the emotions. Emotions are natural, but feelings are conscious. They're conscious decisions based on the way you perceive a thing and the way you have processed what has happened. Yes. All of us are different. There's a verse in the Quran where Allah says every person acts in accordance with their own shakila or their own disposition. So many times, some things are not quote unquote right or wrong. That can be relative. What may be wrong for you may be right for somebody else. Now, brothers and sisters, don't misquote me. There are some absolutes. And Allah determines what the absolutes are. But there's also some areas that in one circumstance, it's a wrong thing to do, but in another circumstance, it's the proper thing to do. And you all already know the example. Eating pork is forbidden in our religion. We know that. Under normal circumstances, we're not going to eat pork. But under special circumstances, Allah gives us permission to eat enough pork to sustain ourselves. But even then, Allah tells you, don't enjoy it. Don't like it. Don't get caught up in it. Do what you got to do for survival. And then once you're back to safety, pork is no longer valid for you. It's still forbidden. Praise be to Allah. So this is what we have to understand. Allah says in the Quran, you love a thing that's bad for you, and you hate a thing that's good for you. See, brothers and sisters, this is another example of the way we process things, what our perception is. I'm trying to drive home this point now that feelings and emotions are not the same. I'm driving home this point that feelings are processed emotions. Emotions are going to happen, they're going to come. But what is your perspective? What is your outlook on the situation? Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, says, strange is the believer. Well, let me back up a bit. Some of us don't think it's possible for somebody to be even-tempered, to have a good disposition, a peaceful disposition, or a happy disposition most of the time. Some people don't believe that you can be like that. Especially when they know Allah is testing you also. Maybe testing you with your health. Testing you with loss of something. Maybe your car got stolen. Maybe you got fired from work, but you're still peaceful. You're still praising Allah. You're still in a happy disposition. Brothers and sisters, this is the believer. This is the state that you and I, and I'm going to admit up front, I'm not there. I'm working on it. But this is the goal. This is the destiny, brothers and sisters. This is where we're going. We want to be like the Hadith. What is the Hadith? The Hadith says, strange is the believer that no matter what happens. Can I use modern day vernacular? Rasulullah, upon him be peace, said, strange is the believer that regardless of what their circumstances, it's all good. If he suffers a hardship, he or she, they bear it with patience, and that's good for them. If he or she gets a blessing, they get something good in their life, they are grateful, and that's good for them. Praise be to Allah. We want to be that strange believer. That's our goal. That's where we're heading. Now, I'd like to share an insight from with you from Imam W.D. Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and I'm hoping I can tie this in. We're talking about the evidence from our Prophet, upon him be peace, of how we're to use the emotions or use the heart and the intellect. You know I'm big on signs. When we make wudu, if I'm not mistaken, and you all maybe can kind of nod, I'm going to look at my sisters and my brothers. I think when we first learned how to make wudu, we wipe our head. I believe it's been a while. I believe we wipe our head from the front to the back and then back to the front. Is that correct? I'm looking around here. Oh, some people don't even know. They're just in the habit. Oh, Brother Malik said, yes, that's right. All right, praise be to Allah. Well, Allah, and I just offer this for your consideration. You know, I don't force nothing on no one, but I found it very beneficial. Imam Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alayhi, told us that we should wipe from the back to the front and then back to the back again, the opposite of what most of us understood. And his reasoning for this is because it's more compatible with nature. Meaning what? The backside of the brain is considered the primitive side of the brain. The front side is called the frontal cortex, or that's where a lot of the activity goes on in the brain and a lot of the development and advancement in the brain in the front. All right? Now again, I have this on good authority. If I make any mistake, you all can correct me later. All right? But I want you to stay with this because this is very important as a sign for how you and I can develop. In wudu, we only wipe our heads once. Hands, arms, feet, face, all of that three times. Head once. Now, Imam Shu'aib kind of put it like this. He drawed a parallel, an analogy to the waxing and waning of the moon. He asked the question, how many cycles does the moon have? And the answer is one. The moon has one cycle, but it waxes and it wanes. So it has two parts to the one. So you might think it's two things going on, but in actuality it's one. Just like we wipe the head once and the moon has those cycles. What is the point? The message in the wudu is that we start from the primitive brain and we go to the advanced. But why is that important? Because the message for us is when we have challenges and problems in our lives, we use our development, which is what the front represents, We use our development, which is what the front represents. Pardon me, correction. We use our development from the past to help us with the present. Now, I'm going to stay here for just a second because I want to be clear what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is many of us see inexperience or see underdevelopment as a liability. We see it as a problem or a hardship. When in reality, all of us start out at that same level. All of us start out primitive. All of us start out underdeveloped. But when we experience things, we're taught. When we experience things, we learn. And from that point, we evolve and we advance. So once we're faced with new circumstances, new situations, new hardships or challenges, we have to reflect back on our past experiences to help us come up with a solution for the new set of circumstances, the new challenge, the new hardship. I pray we can see that. To me, that's natural. The baby struggles to crawl around. The baby struggles to stand up. But each struggle, each advancement gives them a benefit, adds to their arsenal, so to speak, adds to their development. So we start back here dealing with the primitive things in life. Then we take those primitive to bring it to the front, and then we go back again to complete the cycle. Praise be to Allah. Just something for your consideration. When we have these challenges and problems, we use our development from the past to address our current situation. Lastly, what I want to say to you is this. This is very important. Your feelings are a reflection of what you believe about your circumstances at that time. I'm going to repeat that. Your feelings, or I told you there's a difference. Feelings are processed emotions. Your feelings are a reflection of what you believe about what your circumstances are at that time. Praise be to Allah. Brothers and sisters, we thank Allah for this understanding. We thank Allah for this insight. We have to study ourselves. Some of us don't know why we do what we do. Some of us don't know where the influences are coming from. And a lot of times we pay attention on the outward influences, but what's more important is what's influencing you internally. Because people can hype you up on the outside. I'm going to give you an example. People can build you up. People can praise you. People can make you feel good. They can say you're this. You're the best thing since sliced bread. You're awesome. You're this and that. And yet the moment you start feeling good, you smile a little bit. You walk a little lighter. But what is the conversation going on with you when you leave them? What is the conversation in the dark recesses of your own mind? Oh, I don't believe what Abdul said about me. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of a good husband. I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy of good grades. I'm not worthy to be loved. I'm not, whatever your self-talk is. We all have our self-talk and situations. That's going to influence you more than the outer conversation. That's going to influence you more than what people are saying, because they have to keep wiring you up. And as soon as you leave them, your battery drains. And that's why we like to hang around certain people, because they make us feel good about ourselves. And that's why some people can't be still. They can't be quiet, because they're horrified of the internal conversation that's going on with them. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. It's a little aggravating to me when I get around certain people that are always talking. I mean, without taking a breath. Could you take a breath for a moment? Just always talking. That tells me that they're nervous about something, or that they just can't stand silence. Get quiet. Man, could you turn the radio on or something? It's just too quiet in here. Your brother loves quiet at the right time. I love reflection. Praise be to Allah. Let me quickly wrap up this portion of the khutbah, because I'm on a tight schedule today. Praise be to Allah. I said this already, but I'll repeat it. You have a responsibility of how you process or interpret your emotions. Brothers and sisters, it's not what happens, but what you do with what happens. We've heard this. Motivational speakers, they done tapped into it. They talk about it. They said life is 10% what happens to you and 90% what you do about it. Something like that. My numbers might be off a little bit. But those of us in those circles, we know what we're saying. But brothers and sisters, my point for bringing this up is that I want you to know that that is the reality. Allah says in the Quran, similar situations happen to believers that happen to disbelievers. The difference is the believers have help. The believers have hope from Allah. Some of us sit back with pity parties. Some of us sit back, why me? Really, why not you? You human. Again, brothers and sisters, I'm not saying we want bad things to happen. I got a text the other night, actually just last night, that one of our sisters got her house broken into. I didn't share this with you, but a month or so back, Zarina's car was stolen. Yes. I didn't get into, I'm the imam of the masjid. That shouldn't have happened to me. Happened to us. We cost us some money, too, to get it back and get it fixed up. My point is, it happens to all of us. Deal with it and move on. And another thing, brothers and sisters, feeling bad about something is not going to make it any better. It's not going to change it. Now, you might think I'm being too extreme here. So let me bring the balance. Feeling bad about a negative situation is a natural emotion. What I'm trying to encourage you to do is don't get stuck there. Have your moment. Have your period of time. Because, you know, have your morning, whatever it is. Those are natural. You're supposed to have that. But don't get stuck there. Because when you get stuck there, it freezes you in time and immobilizes you from moving to the solution. Moving to more productivity in life. So I'm not insensitive to legitimate pain and suffering and crisis in our lives. All of us have it. I'm just saying, have your moment. But understand, see, some of us get comfortable there and it doesn't change anything. What will change things is that you learn from that and you take some action to make it better. Praise be to Allah. In concluding this part of the khutbah, subhanAllah. Now that you understand that you're responsible for how you process and interpret emotions, where does our emotions rest? Where does the emotions rest that give rise to our interpretation? The answer is your heart. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, "What is sin?" His response: when a thing troubles your heart, give it up. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there's a piece of flesh in the body that if that is whole and sound, then your whole body is whole and sound. And if that is diseased, then your body, everything else is out of line, out of whack. And he said, verily, it's the heart. Matter of fact, if I remember the hadith, he said it three times. Verily, it's the heart. Verily, it's the heart, to emphasize that reality. Another time, he said, truth. See, you and I sometimes get in situations when we're not sure what our behavior or action should be. We try to analyze it in our brain. But brothers and sisters, we should be listening in our heart. Pay attention to the heart. What did Rasulullah say upon him be peace? Truth makes the heart feel tranquil, peaceful, calm. Falsehood disturbs the heart, even though there's people that will encourage you in that decision. Do you get that, brothers and sisters? Sometimes we make a decision, we agonize over a decision, we make a decision, and we're still not comfortable. We're still disturbed. And then we go around our friend and say, yeah, you did the right thing. You should have cussed her out. Or whatever the situation was. Whatever it was, No, you shouldn't have gave him that money, or whatever it was. But when you get away from that again, Allah's still talking to you. Allah's still working with you. That is falsehood if you're still disturbed, though people are encouraging that behavior. Consult the heart. Praise be to Allah. Allah says in the Quran, there are no two hearts in the breast. You don't have two hearts in your chest. What does that mean, brothers and sisters? That means that there's no, your heart is not warring with itself. If you and I will be honest, we agonize over things. The heart is at war with the brain, and the brain is at war with the heart. Agonize when actually they're supposed to work in harmony. Actually, they're supposed to function as one. Actually, they're supposed to bring balance to each other. Cooperate with each other, complement each other. But Allah gives so many signs. You only have one heart in your chest, so it's a whole heart. There should be no conflict. What else does Allah say? And I apologize, I'm rushing now. Allah says in Surah Al-Mu'minun 23 in the Quran, the 12th through the 14th ayah, it talks about, well, I think you noted the first part of Mu'minun, successful indeed are the believers, etc., etc. And then it goes on to talk about in verses 12 through 14 our physical creation. This is important. The physical creation. Then it says, and then after your physical creation, another creation begins. Imam Shu'aib suggested that other creation is the heart. Now you say, wait a minute. All right, let's see if we can do something with this. I'm not talking about the physical heart. The physical heart was created with the first creation. I'm talking about the abstract and the metaphoric components of the heart. Now, watch this. Maybe it's good we're taping this. We might have to listen to this again. You ready? Out of the first creation, another creation develops. I like to make connections. Allah says in Surah Al-Shams that you have the soul. I'm sorry, Surah Al-A'la. Surah Al-A'la, 87 in the Quran. 86, 87. I'm rushing. The soul and the order and proportion given to it. The soul and the order and proportion given to it. Then another place. Now, according to Imam Al-Ghazali, he says that the soul has many components. And brothers and sisters, this answered a lot for me, because I was asked different times, is there a difference between the mind and the soul? Is there a difference between the, because we may say nafs is soul, we may say nafs is person, we may say nafs is self. What is the difference? What I'm learning from this scholar, Imam Al-Ghazali, is that really these different mind and intellect and all that, that's all the soul. It's all in the soul. It's all, he said that the soul, the proportions for the soul is first the spirit. And then he said it's the heart. It's your soul. It's yourself. It's your intelligence. Now, brothers and sisters, real quick, when we've talked about the heart, again, as an abstract, as a metaphor, as a symbol, don't we say foolish heart? We use the term foolish heart, which suggests that people's emotions sometimes lead them to foolish activities and behavior. In other words, your heart should have some intelligence to it. Now, we don't mean this literally, but what we're saying is, well, I guess I'll say it this way. The heart is the heart. The heart is what really makes decisions for the brain. We pray, Allah, that some of us are getting something. I sense that I may be troubling some of you with this. I'm not trying to be heavy or deep. I'm trying to give us insight into the unconscious things that are happening, or the things that you and I have lost control of that we're supposed to be in control of. Praise be to Allah. The Quran speaks of the enlightened soul as to its rights and its wrongs. In concluding this part of the khutbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that an individual came to them and he said, "You come to ask me about righteousness, haven't you?" He said, "Yes, O Messenger of God." He just simply said, "Consult your heart." Oh, that heart is so important. The Quran speaks of the diseased heart. The Quran speaks of that whether you want to warn them or not, it doesn't matter. Allah has put a seal on their heart. Brothers and sisters, this heart is so important. And the idea that I will leave you with is that the heart is born innocent and naturally inclined towards right. I didn't finish what I was going to give y'all, but that's all right. I got to go. The heart is innocent and inclined towards right, and if left undisturbed, knows naturally, instinctively, the difference between right and wrong. Again, brothers and sisters, children are the most transparent example of this. Once they get some little sense of right and wrong, you can walk in a room. You've been out the room for a few minutes. Just walk in the room and look at your child's face. And you could tell something. Man, you start looking around. What's going on? You can tell just looking at the child's face. There's something. They done did something that I don't approve of. Something that I told them not to do. And that's 2 years old. See, brothers and sisters, we learn deception. We learn these bad habits. We learn to be deviant and evil and corrupt, to mistreat each other and disrespect each other. We learn all of that. But naturally, we're inclined towards peace, cooperation, love, compassion, concern. Praise be to Allah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Our Lord, pour out on us patience and constancy and make our steps firm and protect us from those who reject faith. Our Lord, give us excellence in this life, give us excellence in the next, and please save us from the torment of the fires of sin. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the systems of knowledge. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, we'll see. There's still a couple other points that I think is worth bringing up. So we'll see. We may continue this at another time, at a later time. We want to thank Allah for His guidance in the Quran. We want to thank Allah for this beautiful body that He's given us to meet all of our needs. And as a sign of higher insights and understanding, and we thank Him for Muhammad the Prophet, the prayer and the peace be on him. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the true followers of Muhammad, as thou didst exalt Abraham and the true followers of Abraham, for surely thou art praised and magnified. And Allah bless Muhammad and the true followers of Muhammad, as thou didst bless Abraham and the true followers of Abraham, for surely thou art praised and magnified in our midst. Ameen. Hakim as-salat.